They survived miraculously. Although Amaranta Ursula did not lose her good humor or her genius for erotic mischief, she acquired the habit of sitting on the porch after lunch in a kind of wakeful and thoughtful siesta. Aureliano would accompany her. Sometimes they would remain there in silence until nightfall, opposite each other, looking into each other's eyes, loving each other as much as in their scandalous days. The uncertainty of the future made them turn their hearts toward the past. They saw themselves in the lost paradise of the deluge, splashing in the puddles in the courtyard, killing lizards to hang on Ursula, pretending that they were going to bury her alive. And those memories revealed to them the truth that they had been happy together ever since they had had memory. Going deeper into the past, Amaranta Ursula remembered the afternoon on which she had gone into the silver shop, and her mother told her that little Aureliano was nobody's child because he had been found floating in a basket. Although the version seemed unlikely to them, they did not have any information enabling them to replace it with the true one. All that they were sure of after examining all the possibilities was that Fernanda was not Aureliano's mother. Amaranta Ursula was inclined to believe that he was the son of Petracotes, of whom she remembered only tales of infamy, and that supposition produced a twinge of horror in her heart. Tormented by the certainty that he was his wife's brother, Aureliano ran out to the parish house to search through the moldy and moth-eaten archives for some clue to his parentage. The oldest baptismal certificate that he found was that of Amaranta Buendía, baptized in adolescence by Father Nicanor Reina during the time when he was trying to prove the existence of God by means of tricks with chocolate. He began to have that feeling that he was one of the 17 Aurelianos, whose birth certificates he tracked down as he went through 4 volumes, but the baptism dates were too far back for his age. Seeing him lost in the labyrinths of kinship, trembling with uncertainty, the arthritic priest, who was watching him from his hammock, asked him compassionately what his name was. "Aureliano Buendía," he said. "Then don't wear yourself out searching," the priest exclaimed with final conviction. "Many years ago there used to be a street here with that name, and in those days people had the custom of naming their children after streets." Aureliano trembled with rage. "So," he said, "you don't believe it either." "Believe what?" "That Colonel Aureliano Buendía fought 32 civil wars and lost them all," Aureliano answered. "That the army hemmed in and machine-gunned 3,000 workers, and that their bodies were carried off to be thrown into the sea on a train with 200 cars. The priest measured him with a pitying look. "Oh, my son," he sighed. "It's enough for me to be sure that you and I exist at this moment." So Aureliano and Amaranta Ursula accepted the version of the basket, not because they believed it, but because it spared them their terror. As the pregnancy advanced, they were becoming a single being. They were becoming more and more integrated in the solitude of a house that needed only one last breath to be knocked down. They restricted themselves to an essential area, from Fernanda's bedroom, where the charms of sedentary love were visible, to the beginning of the porch, where Amaranta Ursula would sit to sew booties and bonnets for the newborn baby, and Aureliano would answer the occasional letters from the wise Catalonian. The rest of the house was given over to the tenacious assault of destruction. The silver shop, Melquiades's room, the primitive and silent realm of Santa Sofia de la Piedad, remained in the depths of a domestic jungle that no one would have had the courage to penetrate. Surrounded by the voracity of nature, Aureliano and Amaranta Ursula continued cultivating the oregano and the begonias, and defended their world with demarcations of quicklime, building the last trenches in the age-old war between man and ant. Her long and neglected hair, the splotches that were beginning to appear on her face, the swelling of her legs, the deformation of her former lovemaking weasel's body, had changed Amaranta Ursula from the youthful creature she had been when she arrived at the house with the cage of luckless canaries and her captive husband, but it did not change the vivacity of her spirit. "Shit," she would say, laughing. Who would have thought that we really would end up living like cannibals?